Now, over the holidays, you might have sent a care package to someone you were thinking about but couldn't be with. Maybe you put in some favorite foods, reminders of jokes you share, a special shirt. Now imagine if instead you could only send this person items you found in one catalog you were given, produced and owned by one private company. In many prisons and jails across the country, this is what loved ones of inmates experience. Taylor Eldridge is a fellow at the Marshall Project and recently wrote a piece called The Big Business of Prisoner Care Packages. Taylor, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Taylor, for someone who hasn't been in this position, talk about what people have to go through to send that care package to a loved one who's incarcerated.
Sure. So if a family, you know, happens to be lucky enough to have internet access at home and a credit card, they can go online and, you know, browse a catalog of pre-selected items. But if you don't have a credit card, if it's not easy for you to access the internet, then it becomes a lot more difficult to even, you know, access the catalog, let alone actually place an order. So it's, you know, families are directed to these websites of these private companies, and then, you know, it's like a shopping on Amazon, but a lot more expensive.
And it's hard to just, you know, go out to a store and buy something and send it. What kind of screening would something that somebody just bought at a store and sent in go through at most prisons?
So at most prisons, you know, any package that comes in has to be checked for any type of contraband. So that involves, you know, opening up the box, and like some places use x-rays, some places just, you know, do a visual inspection. And then if anything might raise a red flag or anything like that, then you have to take a step further and actually open any items that are in a package. So these private companies, you know, offer ways to simplify that process for corrections agencies.
Right, because the stuff at these companies would be pre-screened. They know it's going to meet prison approval.
Exactly. They're going to be in pre-approved packages. They're not going to be, you know, no way to make a weapon or any kind of drugs out of it. Everything is sealed. It's very clearly hasn't been tampered with in any way.
And you mentioned the expense. What kind of costs are we talking about?
Yeah, I mean, so the price of items really depends on where your loved one is. Even within states, you know, something as simple as a pair of boxers could be $2 in one facility. But, you know, in the next county over, they're $7 for the same pair of boxers. And a lot of it is, you know, snacks that you would find at, like, your local 7-Eleven. You would pay, like, $4 for some pork rinds. It's kind of, they're very different prices than what you would find, you know, at your local corner store.
And there are limitations. I know people often would want to send books, and there are charitable projects that provide books to inmates. Is that also covered under this?
So it depends on the agency's policies. So I know, for example, New York just recently made the switch to private package companies, and included in their list of things that they will not accept from anyone except for these private companies is books, and that has a lot of, you know, advocates concerned with regards to, you know, inmates' First Amendment rights and things like that. But it really depends on the corrections agency.
Talking to Taylor Eldridge from the Marshall Project, her piece, The Business of Prison Care Packages, can be found on the Marshall Project website. Taylor, I think people who maybe don't have family members incarcerated might be thinking, well, prison's tough, but you're there for a reason. So what? So what would you say to people about why this is a problem they should be concerned about?
Right, yeah. So a lot of the families that I spoke with, they all acknowledged, you know, we acknowledge that our loved one committed a crime and that, you know, people have to face consequences for their actions. But to have to jump through all these hoops and pay these really expensive prices and not be able to send anything that you have picked out personally or that is special to your loved one, it really harms the family. It's not just another punishment for inmates. It harms innocent people on the outside as well.
Can you talk about the big business side of this? How much money are we talking about in these prison care package companies?
Yeah, so we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. Hundreds of millions of dollars. So, for example, Keith Group, which runs Access Secure Pack, is one of the larger private programs in the country. They reported net sales of over $375 million from their contracts for care packages and commissary and tech programs in 2012. So it's it's a lucrative business for these companies.
And how do they enter into these arrangements with a prison or I guess a state prison system?
Right. So a state prison system will put out a call for proposals to like run their commissary or, you know, run their package program. And these companies will often make bids that, you know, describe how the corrections agency won't have to pay anything. The private company will pay to set up all aspects of the, you know, infrastructure they'll need to run these programs. And then they will also offer a commission from any revenue. So not only will the state have this private company building all the stuff for them, they'll also get, you know, a chunk of the money that they make off of inmates and their families. So it's often bundled in a contract for other services. So like Access Secure Pack would be part of a contract that also includes, you know, the food in the prison kitchen, the phone calls and things like that.
And Taylor, I got to say, this is a part of the American economy I had no idea existed in the first place. What led you to try to follow this thread?
It was really, I was just sitting with my editor one day and we were just talking about, you know, what is actually in a care package? How do you actually, you know, how do you actually send one to someone? And then I started doing some research and it became clear that it was a lot more complicated than we had thought at the beginning, and that these, you know, there's this huge network of companies and all this money flowing around. So we just followed that.
And as you say, this is in states around the country. The rules might be different from place to place. Are there states or localities where they've regulated this or try to put caps on prices or things like that?
Yeah, so the contracts are negotiated between the local corrections agencies and the companies. So if you're, you know, a bigger county, you have a little bit more sway in these negotiations. So, for example, in California, L.A. County negotiated for the prices to stay within 2% of the average price of that good at the local convenience stores within 12 miles of the central jail. Like, it's a very detailed price limitation. And other places, there's no price regulation included in the contracts.
And finally, Taylor, you talked, as you said, to some family members about this. Can you talk about the human link that people see, the family on the outside sees in being able to send something to their loved one who's locked up?
Yeah, so for a lot of families, it you know, being able to pick something that they know their loved one will enjoy and send that to them while they're, you know, incarcerated, it means the world to these families, especially if they're not able to, you know, make the trip down and visit in person or anything like that. Just being able to have that connection of selecting something that they know will mean a lot to their loved one is critical.
And there's no indication that anybody's looking to change the system as it exists right now, is there?
Not quite. It's pretty lucrative for the corrections agencies and the businesses. So,
all right, we'll leave it there. Taylor, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Taylor Eldridge. She's an investigative fellow at the Marshall Project. She joins to talk about her latest piece. You can find it at the Marshall Project website. It's called The Big Business of Prison Care Packages. Now, I know when we've talked about prison issues in Wisconsin in the past, we have heard from you. I'm curious, do you have a story? Is this something you've done, sent a care package to a loved one who is incarcerated? If you have, please tell us about it. You can email us ideas@WPR.org, or you can send a letter, care of Central Time. That's Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 537-066. Definitely. If this is a story, if this has been a part of your life, tell us what that care package meant to you if you were an inmate yourself or the family member sending it. Again, email ideas@WPR.org or just send a quick tweet. Central Time at Central Time WPR.